Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Fred Report technical market call for Friday, the 25th of November, 2011. Sorry, because it's not a Thursday. I got a little confused there. We'll make this as short as we can. Jeff Garbaz is not going to be on the call. First of all, obviously the market has surprised us by going down a little bit more than we thought by going through the 120 area on the SPY. That moves us officially to a neutral. Below 118, which we are still a little bit below, actually is negative. But as we said in our last little report, the midweek update, Thanksgiving crashes are rare but are usually the best simply because there are very few buyers around. Most of those leave early in the day. And the only people really left are sellers. So those markets have a tendency to extend a little bit more on the downside when you get them. We've only had, I think it's 10 or 11 days that are down before Thanksgiving in the last 20-plus years. So, I mean, it is rare when you get that, but when you do get it, it can be very gnarly, which is what we saw. Given that, what we see now is the indicators are oversold, and we should get a short-term rally here. Our period of maximum vulnerability, if we're going to have a real correction or bear market into the end of the year, is when the weekly stochastics get up into the 60, 70, 80 area, if they do that. They are oversold enough to bounce. It looks like the bounce is starting a little bit today and should continue through next week. We note that condition indicators are still decent. Sentiment is still fine. New highs, new lows, all that stuff is looking okay. And what we're going to do is publish the monthly this weekend. We want subscribers to have a complete review of the markets going into next week. And we're going to be traveling next weekend and later in the week. So we want to get that out and then be able to answer any email questions that you've got. So for now, we think the market's a little bit overextended on the downside. We see a rally back up towards 120 to 122.50 on the S&P, and then we have to see what this thing is made of. Please look at last week's midweek report on the weekly charts that we showed of the New York Composite and the Russell 2000 and the mid-cap. Those resistance areas are very good and are what are likely going to have to be penetrated for this market to really go as we thought it could have gone earlier in the year, or earlier in the month, actually, rather, pardon me. Those numbers are 8,000 on NYA, 78, 77 on IWM, and roughly 166 to 168 on the MDY. Those are the real resistance areas. That's what held the market back before. This pullback may be a shot to the downside to just rally through there to sort of recharge our batteries. But we're concerned because we shouldn't have gotten this oversold if we were going to have the kind of blow-and-go market we thought we could have into the end of the year with short covering and all that. So, you know, our year-end rally is, you know, sort of scenario is definitely damaged. We need to be careful and circumspect and use risk management, but we see a short-term rally over the next week or so anyway, unless, of course, something goes wrong geopolitically. What's interesting here is the accumulation model on the TLT is still way up. And when I do the same model on bond futures, which is a little harder to do because there's some data missing, you have to do some extrapolation stuff on there. But basically, the bond models are all way up for accumulation, and that suggests that the big money is looking for some kind of a surprise. What's also interesting is stocks and bonds, in terms of the Fed's price oscillators, are trading almost exactly opposite. Coming into today, basically, the bond FPO was at 0.05, i.e. right at zero, and the stock FPO on the weekly was 0.5, again, very close to zero. They're trading exactly opposite, and so we're still in the position where we have been thinking the bond market would come down. The accumulation model is suggesting that it's not going to come down that much and stocks get into trouble. That's why we've gone to a neutral here. Would we be buying a lot of bonds? Probably not. We still see a lot of overbought readings and stuff on there. Would we be selling bonds? Probably not. We'd probably try to stay exactly where we are, simply because there are some issues internationally, and we think the real problem is going to be the Middle East. You know, the market is trying to discount something here, and I keep thinking that Europe is very widely known. The Middle East may be the variable. We'll just have to see. In terms of bonds, by the way, we had a quick question from one of our subscribers. Would we be looking to buy HYG here for a trade? The answer is, if stocks are going to rally, HYG probably should rally. We would buy HYG here for a trade. We'd look for 88.89 and then possibly switch that into PHB, which would gives a little bit less of a yield, but is considerably less volatile and more stable. So that would be a safe way to play that if we wanted to. Let's switch over to commodities and gold for a minute. Gold still looks like it's trying to hold on here. It's definitely holding 160 area support. Anything through 177 would imply that gold is going to do very well. We also note that GDX and PSAU basically look better intermediate term than the stock market does. We expect stocks to outperform in the year end, the commodity stocks rather, outperform in the year end. We are still going to remain with our sector overweights, energy and tech. Energy, if you look at the way USO has come down, it's come down very little. There's a big seasonal tendency for oil to rally. If the market does get some rally in here, you will probably see XLE do better than the market as a whole on the way up, at least until the end of December, January period. So we're going to stay with those for now. Our favorite defensive sector for anyone who wants to be defensive, XLP. Tech still, frankly, looks pretty good to us as long as we don't have a major geopolitical surprise. But tech and IBM in particular are still looking fine. And so that's basically where we are. We're a little confused. We're not going to flip out here, but there's some more negative stuff than we thought. Let's see how this market does over the next week or so. Let's watch the resistance areas. Anyone who wants to go short this market could consider going short, you know, I would say between 120 and 122.50 with risk management and see how it goes. Right now, I want to see if the daily indicators can get overbought and how the market acts, as we said before. Jeff Garbaz is not going to be on the call, so we're going to go through stocks very quickly, and then we'll open it up to questions. IBM still looks fine. It's holding 175 to 177 support. It's a great intermediate-term chart. We would use the stock to meet client objectives. Oracle's pulled back nicely. 29.30 is support. It's holding it. A move back up to 31.32 is likely, and tech, again, as we have said, looks good. Apple has been acting less well and less attractive. We are still concerned about Apple. We've been concerned about Apple for a while. We would be lightening up on Apple and getting to a normal weight in there. We would not be buying Apple. That could be a mistake, but so be it. Google has filled its gap at 560. It looks to me to rally to 600 from here, and then we'll have to see. In terms of the oil stocks, Chevron, CVX looks great. It's trading around 95. I think the stock could make it back to 100 to 102 or do better than that in a year-end move. ExxonMobil's holding on as well. It's basically held 74 area support. Above 76, you're probably going to get to 78, and again, we like that name. RDC, Rowan and Companies, basically holding 31.5 area support. A lot of resistance at 34.50 now. We'll see what we do with 34.50, but again, that one looks better than some of the other service names. Schlumberger has come down. It's actually improving a lot, and anything above 72 would probably be really good on Schlumberger. Bank of America is probably going to be on our tax loss bounce list. We think there's going to be some more tax selling in that. Anyone who buys Bank of America here at 530 should be prepared to buy it below 5, but this one could get a nice tax loss bounce into the end of the year. J.P. Morgan, also down, double bottom in the 29 area, favorable, or I should say better than average intermediate term chart, 31.50 possibly on the upside if the market rallies. BB&T is actually one of my favorite banks. Good dividend. Support in the 20 to 21 area is holding. A move up to 23.10 is reasonable, but we would not be buying banks here. And SunTrust, also at a double bottom, doesn't look 100% here. Again, we probably would be avoiding that name if we could. And with that, anyone who wants to ask a question, please feel free to hit star 6 on your phone to unmute yourself.
Yeah, hey, Fred, it's Don.
Don, how are you? I was not expecting you to be up this early today after Thanksgiving.
I wasn't either, but here we go.
Okay.
Hey, I'm looking at this chart formation on the spiders now is just like identical in form, a little bigger than what we had between about mid-February and mid-March earlier this year. So like I say, the formation is the same, but how different, have you looked at this? How different are your other indicators? Because that thing came out of there and then went on to a slight new high.
Yeah, it does look very similar. And Don, the other thing you could say about this is we're basically building a right shoulder that's higher than the left shoulder, especially if we get back above 123, and that would also target new highs. The indicators look a little bit better here because they're actually oversold. Don, I don't want to sound like a paranoid here, but the one real anomaly is the bonds here and that accumulation model is so high. Okay. And honestly, when bonds went from 125 to 110, I thought I had really hit that one right on the friggin' nose, and that they were going to collapse and stocks were going to go. And remember, we talked about and we wrote about the bond accumulation model being up, right?
Right.
And how it shouldn't have been up. And it stayed up, and look what's basically happened since then. That is a nebulous thing, but it's a real concern, and that's why I'd be cautious here. Okay. The bonds are often right before stocks. When I look at the weekly moving averages, they're still positive. This looks like it could be a consolidation, and then we go up because the weekly moving averages are positive. But, Don, if this were going to be the kind of blow-and-go market that I was really forecasting, we just wouldn't have gotten this oversold. The stochastics would have come down to 50. We would have rallied again and really gone. And instead, the stochastics are in the 5-6 area. So, I mean, Don, I've got to be as balanced here as I can. One other thing I'll mention to people that are on the call, and I know I'm answering this question a little bit longer. I just saw on MarketWatch that the formation that we have here is identical to 2008. Just before the big drop, and that could be various people, all sorts of people, including some very dear friends of mine, are writing about that, and that really could be. But generally, when things are being discussed in that way and everyone's looking for it, it's not going to happen, which is not to say that we can't have more decline and that we shouldn't be cautious here. But if this is exactly like 2008, it's widely acknowledged, and we have to be aware that, yes, it could be, but my guess is something different is going to happen than that. Don, another question or any other questions?
No, thank you.
Fred, Bob Sauer, how are you today?
Fine, Bob. How are you?
Good. Just to UCO and PANL, I write covered calls on them a lot, and I was just curious what you thought of their.
Certainly. UCO, which is trading around 40, correct?
Right.
I would be comfortable writing the 44, 45s, especially if I was willing to be called.
Okay.
And Panel, which is one of my favorite mega speculative names, it needs to break below 40 to be really ugly, and I've been expecting it to go fill the gap at 36. Otherwise, Bob, let's see if we can rally that a little bit closer to 45.50 if the market rallies here and then try to be called.
Okay, thanks, Fred.
Other questions.
Rick Grimshaw, how are you?
Rick, how are you?
Wonderful. Can we look at RIG, please, RIG, at this level? You think the dividend will hold it up and there's some bounce if you like the energy sector?
It's right on a double bottom with very oversold stochastics in a strong sector. So this is the exact sort of thing, given the market conditions, that I would be willing to add to or buy.
Okay.
If the market's going to rally, this will go.
Second item, would you buy more or initiate XRT?
XRP.
XRT, the retail sector.
TTT. Yeah. Yes, I would be willing to try that. There's support at 49. Amazon has been all over the place, but basically looks like it may be putting in a little bit of a low in here for at least to try to 198 to 200. And Macy's and the Limited actually look better than the market. So I think your XRT is probably a decent deal. It's a good try.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Hey, Fritz. Roy.
Roy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well.
Good, good. So can you just talk a little bit about, I guess, would you have been stopped? Are you stopped out right now?
I am stopped out to go back to a neutral from an excessively bullish position when we hit 120. In other words, I'm still in some stocks. I have my highest level of cash, and I'm waiting to see if I want to redeploy the cash.
Okay, and then so the political issues. I mean, how does that affect the technicals right now? Is it just makes it tougher, or you know, how do you kind of balance that? And then the last thing is, I think the weeklies, won't they go negative now?
The weekly moving averages on the Spider will not, I do not think, will go negative. That's the first question. And one of the reasons I think that is because my charts actually update those live, and they're not negative now, I don't think. It's hard to see, but I'm not showing negative readings on those now. I've got 124.03 on the 5 and 121.44 on the 20, which means they're a ways from going negative.
Okay.
What usually happens, even if they're going to go negative, by the way, Roy, is you get a pop up, they continue to come down, and then you go down.
Okay.
So,
and then the political issues and how that affects, you know.
You know, obviously there's some cases where fundamental issues and political issues trump technicals. Okay.
Yeah.
My feeling has been that everything in Europe is being discounted. It's not a big surprise in Europe that Europe is having trouble here, although Germany having a little bit of trouble in last bond auction may have been a surprise. So I am guessing that it's going to be something else, Roy, and it may be something in Egypt. They say they're going to hold these elections on the 28th. They may decide, given the level of unrest, that they should cancel those. Or something. My guess is it's something other than Europe. You don't know what it is, but what I'm looking to see, Roy, is that accumulation model on bonds needs to start coming down, and I won't know what that did until this weekend because I don't get the close until Friday at 1 o'clock, which is today.
Got it.
But that just says that the bond market is thinking that something really bad could happen. And bonds are right an awful lot of the time ahead of stocks. For example, in the 2008-2007 debacle, the bond market basically froze up and stocks kept going up for a while, and everyone said, well, bonds are wacky, but who cares? And it turned out that that was really important. But it took a while, okay? And we've got that same sort of possible situation again. Now, guys that are on the call, and I'll put this in the letter as well, sometimes that situation fixes itself without anything happening. The accumulation model is not a timing tool. It is a condition indicator. And condition indicators can change without the market actually changing in some cases. But it's just, when you're expecting to see something happen and it's part of your scenario for the way things should work and the exact opposite thing is happening, you have to take note of it, especially if it's the sort of thing that signaled a debacle the last time. Now, I've always been of the opinion that each debacle is different. So this may not be the same sort of debacle, but it is a concern. I am monitoring it, and that's why I'm suggesting being a little bit more neutral, playing the daily indicators, which are nicely oversold, seeing if we get a rally, and then seeing how that rally looks.
And then just to follow up real quick, so would there be a point where you kind of issue just all out, everything looks horrible, this is it's done, or won't you kind of issue that type of report?
You know, I will probably mention that, but most of our clients on the call remain invested in something. Very few clients, in other words, go to 100% cash here.
Right.
And this is one of those situations where, you know, you could easily decide to go from 100% invested to 100% cash to 100% invested again in a week.
Yeah, right.
And that's silly. We can't do that. What will certainly make me extremely negative here is if those weekly moving averages start to go negative. Okay. Another thing that would do it would be moving below 112.50 right away on the spider. In other words, this oversold condition means nothing and we just keep going down. That would be another thing that would do it. But I just, you know, most of our guys won't go to 100% cash. And by the way, Roy, one of the reasons that I am emphasizing energy here still is if I'm right and the Middle East is going to blow up and be the cause of a major decline, in other words, if I'm right that that is the concern, oil and oil stocks should do well under that scenario. If nothing happens and oil moves up seasonally, oil stocks should do well and perform, you know, outperform the market. And if we're wrong about a short-term rally here and the market goes down for apparently no reasons, oil and oil stocks will go down but may outperform the market. So at two out of three of the negative scenarios, oil and energy stocks win, and in one of them they might do better than the market. And that's why I'm still staying with the overweight on energy. The risky overweight here is technology, because if it looks like we're going to have a new recession or things really start to go wrong, technology will probably not do nearly as well. But I'm very happy with the Chevrons and the Exxons of the world.
Thanks, Fred.
Hey, Fred, good morning. This is Raj here. How are you?
Raj, how are you this morning?
Very good. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I had a very good Thanksgiving. I hope you did as well. How's Boston treating you?
Oh, Boston's treating me. It's a beautiful day today. So, you know, I was looking at, you know, most of us manage money for the long term.
Right.
As you rightly pointed out, you know, it's tough to go to 100% cash or, you know, the extreme scenario. But you can trim things back. If I look back, say, the weekly stochastics going back to, say, December 2008, pretty much even the S&P is above the 200-day line. And many of the stronger stocks like Amazon and Apple and IBM are still above the 50-day or possibly touching the 50-day. Wouldn't that be a better discipline if these things crack or the S&P cracks the 200-day? That's when we go negative. You know, just your thoughts on it.
Well, Raj, a couple things. First of all, and I think you may actually have seen it, Bob Farrell published a piece showing that the 200-day really, you basically isn't working the way it used to work. What I look at, that weekly 5 and 20 is basically 25 days and 100 days, and that's enough. If that goes negative, if you go back and look at 2011, for example, before we really broke down, the 5 and 20 week went negative. If you go back and look at what happened in 2007, 2008, the 5 and 20 week went negative after going positive, just like they have. Okay? So that's a concern. When I look at the stochastics are a bit overbought, and that's why I say, Raj, that if, because the weekly stochastic has given a classic sell signal here. It's gone right above 80 and come right down below it. Okay? The daily stochastics are oversold enough that we should get some kind of a rally, and that rally probably won't affect the weekly stochastics that much. If we can get the daily and weekly stochastics overbought and start to go down, that's when we could have our best kind of fiasco.
Okay. But
so,
you know,
that's sort of what I'm waiting on.
Going to that point, I mean, let's assume we started this new bull market in March of 2009. Is the bull market still intact?
I would say it is until proven otherwise. And the reason that I would say it is, Raj, is actually if you look at the mid-cap index, the MDY,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the monthly charts, you'll see we made all-time highs on that index this year. And generally, all-time highs are a sign of a bull market. And a correction is normal in a bull market. If you look at the Dow Transports, they made all-time highs in June, just before the hoorah started. So the transports also have made all-time highs. So to me, if some stock indexes in the market, especially broader ones, the Russell also made all-time highs, by the way, and a number of sectors made all-time highs. So for me, if stuff is making all-time highs, that says you're in a bull market. And by the way, if you go and look at that versus the 2002 to 2007, you know, or 2000 highs versus 2007 highs, that worked in an extremely good fashion. But we did have corrections along the way. The question really is here is if something is going to completely derail this thing that's geopolitical. And from the indicator standpoint, which is really all I can look at, sentiment models, bearish sentiment is very high still. And we'll see the chart of that when I fill that out and put it in the monthly this week. The question is, frankly, are we going to see the weekly stochastics come all the way down to 20 again, and would the market then make new lows on that, or whether we're going to simply see the weekly stochastics, which have come down a little bit, stay elevated, and the daily stochastics take this market up again. That we don't know. And that's my preferred guess right now on an intermediate term basis, is that's exactly what's going to happen. The only bugaboo, Raj, and again, I don't want to sound nebulous or weird, but the bond market shouldn't be doing what it's doing if that's going to work. And that bothers
meaning me. Bonds are acting too well, meaning
bonds are acting way too well, and even more important, my accumulation model, which suggests that big money is buying something, says that the real big money is taking a significant position in bonds here. And generally that means, especially what that has meant in the last 5, 6, 7 years, is that the stock market's going to run into trouble. It's the only negative thing I really have for stocks, Raj. But it just bugs me. And part of the reason it bugs me is I basically didn't weight that as heavily as I should have in 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't do it, and it turned out that it was absolutely right. So maybe I'm weighting it a little bit too much now. But I would love to see, after this short-term correction, the market rally into the end of the year and that bond accumulation model come off. Because basically, Raj, what happened was, as the bonds on the TLT went from 125 to 110, which is what we were looking for, that model showed that bonds were being bought, not sold. And I sat there and I looked at that and I said to myself, that can't be right, which usually means it is right. And here are bonds right back up to 121, 122 again, and the stock market looking shaky. That's the concern.
Okay. Thanks, Fred.
Certainly.
Fred?
Yes.
This is Bobby. Would you look at a couple of the inverse ETFs, BGZ and EDZ?
BGZ. Direction large cap bear, got it.
Right.
If that can move above 42.50, that looks like it could head to 47 to 50. You've got a couple of big sell bars with lower highs on there, so those are a downtrend intermediate term since August. And EGZ.
E-D-Z.
Edward Dogg, Zebra. Got it, Bobby.
Just for trading now. I'm just trading them.
Yeah. Of those two, I would say the BGZ looks a little tiny, weeny bit better, but if your EDZ goes a little bit above 26, you'll get a nice shot to 28, 29, probably.
Okay.
Fred.
Bobby, it's good to hear your voice. Yes, sir.
Bob Glenn, how are you?
Fine, Bob. How are you doing?
I just joined a little bit late. I'm sorry. GPC. G. Paul C.
Oh, Genuine Parts. I was waiting for you to do that one. Still on support at 54. And it looks a little bit better than the market as a whole on a short-term basis, and your stochastics are oversold, Bob.
What's oversold?
The stochastic indicator. We should get a bounce in that, in other words. That stock is trading pretty well.
And for I was late. I'm sorry to read. For the month of December, you...
You know, we're set for a short-term rally, Bob. Are you in the office, Bob? I'll give you a ring if you want.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't want to go through all that. We went through that a whole bunch. Any other questions? Going once. Going twice. Going three times.
Fred, Neil, Neil,
how are you, Neil?
Good. I came in at the last second, sorry.
That's okay. Any questions, Neil?
Yeah, real quick on the minis, the ESZ1, I think, is the...
Right, I don't get that, so I'll have to give you a spider quote.
You have to. All right, we'll talk about that later then.
Okay. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, Neil. I miss your cooking.
I did.
Okay. Any other questions, guys? Otherwise, we will turn this one off. And we're doing the monthly this weekend, so you guys will have a comprehensive update.
Hey Fred, just real quick, just kind of given everything that you talked about, sir, are we just kind of basically this week you're kind of looking at this to kind of make or break it for the market? I mean, is that kind of the scenario?
Well, this week, yeah, I would say this is probably a real important week. If we're going to have a short-term rally, we need to have it. Yeah. Roy, Thanksgiving, like I said, the crashes on Thanksgiving when you get them are fabulous. Okay, you almost always overextend on the downside. So Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday should pick that up, and we should start to go. The other thing I'm really looking at is the 28th when these Egyptian elections are going to be held. Because I do think that a very bad sign will be them saying there's too much unrest and people in the streets, you can't vote fairly, so we better cancel these elections indefinitely. We
right.
see that, we could be in real trouble.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, any other questions? Going once, going twice, going three times. That will conclude the Fred Report technical market call for November 25th, 2011. Thank you.